The first reading is taken from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Faith in the incarnate Son of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is the love of God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from John 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everybody. I've got my water, so if I cough, I will leap down and get that. I lost that first thing. For those who don't know, I'm Fiona. I'm an associate minister here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will take these words I speak and speak to our hearts directly, Lord. Come and encourage us and challenge us today. Amen. So before I went off to theological college, there were quite a few people I worked with who thought, what? What is this woman doing? She seems quite normal. And one of the conversations I had was really interesting. This woman had grown up sort of thinking that the Greek gods, Hindu gods, Christian gods, they're all the same. They were sort of a human construct to sort of increase society, growing together, and to live a moral way. That was what she thought. And to meet somebody who not only said she talked to God, but that I was saying that God talked back to me, she couldn't get hold of that. And it was a really interesting chat, shall we say. And I was saying, so do you think that you're an atheist, don't believe in God, or an agnostic sort of open? And she said, oh no, my parents got me done as a child. I was that christened thing. So I'm a Christian. And I suppose that's one thing about baptism. You've got to choose. You know, you've got to choose it rather than just sort of do it as something that's been done. And today we've got Daisy and being baptized. Now, baptism conjures up a lot of things for people. It used to be called christening because there was no sort of register of births. The church did it. So you went to the church and you got your Christian name given by the vicar. And that was why you were christened, because it was your Christian name. But I remember as a child being asked what my Christian name is, but now in a multicultural world, it seems a bit strange to ask for your Christian name. So that's where the word christening came in, just if you were aware of that. Now, there's two forms of baptism. There is the believer's baptism, as we had with Max, Jesselyn and Favour. And then we have a baby's baptism, and it is... Any baptism is a sacrament now, church folks. Can anybody remember what a sacrament is? It is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. I know my catechism, but what does that mean? What does that mean? The easiest way, it's something we do, some event that we do, because it's something that we believe in or have decided to believe. So just being a proud parent, using my son's wedding... and proud husband managed to marry them. They loved each other, Jed and Anna. They loved each other already, and so they stood up here and they committed to each other before their friends and before God. And that's a similar thing to a baptism. It's exactly the same thing. People love God, and so they commit to God and vow before him. So that's what a believer's baptism is. It's a wonderful thing to be. But a baby's baptism is slightly different. When I can move it on. Oh, sorry, let me just go back. A baby's baptism is different. It's a bit like an arranged marriage. Now, I am not talking about Married at First Sight Australia. We'll ignore that, however much fun it is. Lots of people in different cultures to our own have arranged marriages. And because we live in a world like this, I'm sure you know people. And actually, the parents, it's a huge effort to try and a huge responsibility to get somebody that their child will want to marry and grow together and love. It's a huge thing, and it's a great... I'm really glad I didn't have to do it. It would have blown my mind. But today, I suppose the baptism, it's a bit like an arranged marriage. So Sally and Christian are choosing to arrange for Daisy to have a faith in Jesus. And they are committing today to bring her up as a Christian, to bring her to a church fellowship, to let her know from the inside, not like that friend of mine who knew nothing even though she'd been done, but to actually to encourage her to grow. And, I don't know why that keeps fiddling, let me just go on. And the parents and godparents this time, as opposed to the believer's baptism, are going to say some stunning things, and I've put them up here so you can think about it. And Christian was saying, Philippe, that you need it written down because you're French, yes? So time to think about these things that you're committing to. So, relatively easy one. Do you come to Christ the way, the truth, and the life? I've muddled these up, so don't remember them and think they're in the wrong order. I come to Christ. That's the important bit, really, that you choose Christ for yourself. Do you turn to Christ as Saviour? Is he going to resolve all your problems and somebody that you can trust? Well, that sounds quite easy. Yes, I'll have a bit of that. I'll have a bit of, you know, everything sorted. Then the big one that is huge. And I would encourage everybody when the parents and godparents are saying these vows to think it through for yourself. Where do you stand on these? Do you accept? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? And people say, I submit to Christ. It's actually putting God first. It's not that, you know, you're sort of in a cult or anything. You've still got to struggle with life and sort things out and pray things through. But you're trying to live life that God has encouraged us to do and life that's written in the Bible. And baptism makes some really life-changing promises because it's a journey of faith. Now, baptisms had for children started because there was a very high death rate, and it was sort of decided that it was going to be a family, a bit like the Jewish service of having a child done first, that the children were welcomed. And that's what we are doing today. But we are welcoming Daisy to this community or any other community that they go to, and we all have a role to play. It's not just Christine and Sally, and the godparents when they remember at birthdays. It's all of us to encourage her in her faith. So, and we need to support them in their decision. I am so sorry for this little flick. I did it once and it's gone on every screen. So that's me not correcting it. So let's now move neatly onto the Bible passage. We're just going to look at the gospel passage, the last one that Jeff read. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Lots of remaining going on. But let's explore this. God's starting point is love. The Father loves Jesus, and Jesus loves us. And the Father loves us too. And we know this, church members, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And the second verse that I love just as much, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world and say, you dirty sinners. He came to save the world through him. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Faith is initiated by God, by God's love, which is a wonderful part. But we have a role to play. We have to respond, and then we have to remain in Jesus' love. Now, those of you last week who were here, Mark was talking about his grafted tomatoes and aubergines. Can you remember? That actually you have the root stock at the bottom, sort of a very strong, vigorous plant, and the scion, the top bit, that you sort of fit and wrap round it to be grafted in. And we are grafted in our faith to Jesus. He is the vine. We are his branches. And we are it's a very sort of physical idea that we are attached to God, isn't it? And the plant gets no choice. The plant is grafted. It either lives or dies. But we get a choice. We can choose whether we're going to take the source of our nourishment from God or do our own thing. And that is why Jesus says, remain in my love. We need to keep on keeping on with God. And the text helps us with this. The Bible has commands, lots of commands. But the commands are sort of secondary to love. And Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. We need to know Jesus' commands. We need to know the Bible. Yes, feel free to nick one of these Bibles if you want to read it. That's fine. Take it with you. Just mention it to us so we know if we need to buy some more. But there are more modern versions as well. You can just look online, get something like the New Living Bible or the Message. It speaks in, you know, modern day language. Get to know your Bible. Be part of a church. Talk to God, to Christians about God. Help each other and pray. Work out your salvation. All of those things are keeping God's commands. Because God sent his Son to his chosen people, the Israelites, because they couldn't keep all the rules, all of the commands, all of the time. Yes, we've got to keep the commands, but you and I will get it wrong. I've just asked for forgiveness, and probably by the time I go out, I'll have upset somebody or whatever, or done something wrong or thought a bad thought, and I have got it wrong. And that's because rules are important, but it's all about relationship. And I really, really like this quote from his name's on the last screen. I forgot what it is. Let me read it. I know it's long, but it's worth it. Here's the real secret. You can fulfill the commands of the Bible better by falling in love with God than by trying to obey him. It's not that your obedience isn't significant or relevant. It's simply not the center of the wheel. No, the hub of your life is your relationship with God. How does that work? Pick your analogy. I'm going to pick parenthood. If a parent makes a decision to keep all the rules and be a perfect parent, do they succeed? No, they don't. If you're just about the rules, it's too hard. But if you love that child and you say sorry, make things right, sort them out, live, you know, asking forgiveness and moving on, you keep your love going, don't you? You keep being a parent, a good parent. And love is the basis that you keep at and learn and grow. And that's exactly the same with our relationship with God. Except, of course, he's our parent. We are going to fail. But love is the basis of all that we do. Which is a wonderful thing. Jesus says, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. We need to work on our love for Jesus as the hub of the wheel that guy talked about, and the spokes are sort of obedience. So we need to spend time and effort. And Daisy here is a good example. If Daisy was told, oh, you're loved, but she's given no quality time. She's not told about God. She's not given any, told how to pray, to read the Bibles. What relationship would she have with God to know that she's loved and that she can love God too? It's exactly the same for us. Love of God is more than a nice idea. It's putting it into practice. God sent his son so we could have a relationship, and love is central. And the whole relationship needs to work. So a question, how is your relationship with Jesus? Have you got a faith? Have you had a faith and you're struggling? How is your relationship with Jesus, and what are the next steps for you? Whether you're a committed Christian who've been here week after week, working yourself out, what are the next steps that God wants for you to grow in love and to keep his commandments? And I would ask you to pray for Daisy and for her parents. We've got another baptism coming up. Vicky, who sometimes plays the piano, her little one, Ollie's getting baptized soon. We need to pray for Sally and for Christy and for Daisy, whether we know them or not, and pray for them to come to faith and to help them when Daisy isn't being so wonderfully charming, but teething or grumpy teenager or whatever it will be she will be. We need to pray for them. And we need to pray for growth. And I'm just going to speak about one more thing before the children come back. So poor Essie's going to have to run down the corridor and get the children as we speak. Just want to make one more thing. How Jesus ends this passage. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So not only have you got to love God, but gosh, you've got to love that person who's really a bit irritating. You know, I'm sure you've got somebody. I've got somebody married to him. But whatever. Jesus was fully human. He was tempted and he never gave way. He taught us, then he died on a cross and still loves today and has a relationship. God is so big. He has a relationship with each and every person in this room, each and every person everywhere. How are we to then love him and respond? How are we to love each other as Jesus has loved you? How am I to forgive and keep on forgiving? It's very easy to form a little club of like-minded people, a little group of friends, and never leave that group, because it's hard to rub alongside ordinary people, because they are irritating. I am irritating. We are all irritating. But Jesus' command is love each other as I have loved you. Jesus died on a cross, and the words he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That level of forgiveness we don't have to do, thank goodness, but we do need to forgive. Love of Jesus means love for God, but love for each other. And it's a daily compassion, daily seeking the best for each other, just as Jesus does for you. Because Jesus loved the unlovable. He loved you, loves you. Your center of life, the hub of your wheel, is love of God. But the spokes are passing it on. And the best way for us to meet his commands, do come on in, everybody, is to forgive as Jesus forgives us. Love of Jesus means love for all. I'm going to end with this passage from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who died in the Nazis killed him. Live together in the forgiveness of your sins. Don't insist on your rights. Don't blame each other. Don't judge or condemn each other. Don't find fault with each other. But accept each other as you are and forgive each other every day from the bottom of your hearts. Huge challenge, isn't it, for us to love people like that. So love of God, seek him, keep his commands, and then learn your Bible, pray, teach Daisy to do all this, and then we've got to love each other. Forgive, keep short accounts, don't hold grudges, to love as Jesus has loved you. And if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Daisy. We thank you for her parents making this commitment of faith today to bring her up as a Christian. And Lord, we pray for Christian and for Sally, for the godparents, for the grandparents, for all the friends and family. And Lord, we pray that Daisy will come to faith for herself. But Lord, we also want to grow in our faith. And we want to think of you and our love for you and where that love is. Is it central to the wheel of our life, or is it miles away from the center just when something goes wrong? Lord, show us how we can have love for you at the center of all that we do, including forgiving other people, including growing in our faith. Show us what we need to do today. Amen.